Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Julie Gowans.
Welcome to the house of God. Great to see all of you amazing people. We're in a sermon series called Common Ground. We started last week. My husband kicked it off. So we are in week two. The title of my message today is Motivated by Love. Motivated by love. I want to talk about a few people at the beginning. You may have heard of these heroes. Maybe not. If so, it'll give you something to go back and study. George Mueller, he was an Englishman in the 1800s, and he got radically saved, became a pastor, and then because he saw 250,000 orphans in the streets, the Lord spoke to him, and he started one orphanage. Well, actually brought him into his house, 30 girls at first, added on a second street on Wilson Street there in Bristol, England, then a third, then a fourth. Eventually, the donations were given for land and a big facility for him. In his lifetime, he educated, clothed, fed, loved, taught the word to over 10,000 orphans. Amazing. Evan Roberts, he was the one who started the Welsh Revival. The Welsh Revival was 1904, 1905. He started it. He started it over 10 years prior through prayer. He prayed incessantly, crying out, warring, praying to God, on his knees, day after week, after month, after year, for 10 long years, until he finally saw revival break out in Wales. Another hero is Harriet Tubman. She escaped slavery, and she made some 13 missions, risking her life, going back, and she rescued approximately 70 friends and family members through the Underground Railroad. Now, let me ask you, what do you think motivated these heroes? What would cause a person to lay down their life for 10 years, crying out for revival, giving up their life to serve and care for and educate and minister to 10,000 orphans, to risk their very life to rescue people from slavery? What do you think? What possible power could motivate a person to do these things? I submit to you, love. Love. Love is a motivator. One of our two, I'm going to have lots of scriptures, but our two key scriptures today, this is the first one, 1 Corinthians 16:14. And if you don't have this memorized, I beg of you to memorize this scripture. Take notes. Put it on your screensaver. Put it in your closet. Wherever you need to see it, put it somewhere, because this is a scripture you need to have for your entire life. You will never outrun the scripture. You will never not need the scripture for the entirety of your lifespan. This is a scripture that you need to know. It needs to be hidden in your heart. It needs to be able to come to your remembrance in an instant. 1 Corinthians 16:14. Let all you do be done in love. Let everything you do be marinated in love. Be blanketed in love. Be covered in love. Not some things you do. Not when it's easy. Not when it's the people that are smiling and that are happy and that are fun, you know, love them. Nope. Let everything you do. There's not one thing left out of everything. Everything means everything. So everything, every person, every interaction, let everything be done in love. Be done in love. Love must be our motivator. It must be the fuel that we have with our interactions with one another. Love is foundational. In order to have common ground with other people who are very different than us, do you realize every person is different than you? Even the ones that you have similarities, there's still differences. You will marry a person that's quite different from you, most likely. It's part of the purifying process that Jesus intends. With children that you have, each will have differences. You get an opportunity to love. So in order to find common ground, love has to be foundational. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, we invite you to continue to saturate this place, saturate our hearts and minds. We want to hear from you today. We do not ever want to come into your incredible house, experience your presence, hear a word, and leave unchanged. Transform us. We give you access. We say we are available for you, Holy Ghost. Spirit of the living God, to come and to speak and to pierce our hearts, convict our hearts, encourage our hearts, minister to the depths of our hearts, and transform us by the power of the living God today, that we would go out different in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, I've got 3 points. I'm going to talk about briefly the first two, and then we're going to land on the third and stay there a while, okay? So that's where we're going today in this journey. So first of all, I want to establish that number one, every person has value. Every person has value. Say it with me. Every person has value. Yes. You've heard it said that the value of a thing is determined by the price someone is willing to pay for it. I'm sure you've heard that. Well, I want to give you a few things that in this pandemic, this past year, that people were willing to pay for. Bikes. You couldn't find a bike. I mean, bikes just were scarce. You couldn't find a bike anywhere. Bike stores, online, what have you. Walmart, they were sold out. Bike prices went up 75%. Crazy. Toilet paper? Anybody want to talk about toilet paper? That's one for the ages, my friends. Toilet paper spiked. Get this. 845%. The demand. The demand spiked. 845%. Any hoarders of toilet paper in the house? Come on. Come on. Confessions right now. How many packs do you still have? This is nuts. There were some people online, on their social media, they posted $500 per roll. I kid you not. I hope no one bought that. But it was on social media. And lastly, currently, right now, if you don't know this, in the restaurant realm, ketchup packets are the hot commodity. Restaurants are hunting for them high and low. Ketchup packet prices are up 13% since last January, and their market share has exploded. So what people value, they'll pay for. The value of a human being, the value of you and I, was very clearly communicated by our Lord. The value of a human being can be inferred from the price paid to redeem mankind. Jesus left perfection, left heaven to move here. In comparison to heaven, we're living in a garbage dump, right? To live here 33 years, laying down his life, going through all the horrific things he did, dying on a cross, not knowing if we would receive him or reject him. While we were yet sinners, he chose to die. Before we said yes, he said, I'm giving my life. Because we're so valuable to him. Even if you don't do it, I want to tell you your value. I'm willing to pay the price to communicate to you how valuable you are to me. This culture of honor, of value, is something that's one of our core values here at Bethel. If you haven't been here long, then get ready. It is a value that we have intentionally worked on and intentionally continue to cultivate. Because Jesus said people are valuable. So we say people are valuable. And that means in a culture of honor, we treat people with value and respect. It means our interactions are with honor and with value. It means I look you in the eye and I can love you. Even when I've got to tell you something hard that you might not want to hear, it's going to be blanketed in love. We care for one another. We honor one another. Because that's the standard of Jesus. That's the command of Jesus. Philippians 2:3 said, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in lowliness of mind or humility of mind, let each one of us esteem others better than ourselves. Or let us prefer others above ourselves. Put somebody else first is what Philippians says here. Romans 12:10, I love this. This is the ESV version. Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Great. Who doesn't want to live in a family, in a house, in a church, in a business where the competition is, I'm gonna outdo you in honoring you today. Oh, no, you're not. I'm going to outdo you in honoring you. Oh, come on. Oh, here we go. Who doesn't want to live in a place like that? That's incredible. And that's what Romans tells us. Outdo one another in showing honor. We must view people, all people, not just the ones we like and that are friendly. All people. We must view all people as Jesus views them. Jesus sees every person as valuable, worthy of his sacrificial life, worthy of his forgiveness, and worthy of his love. Now you may be sitting there thinking, all right, I believe the Bible, I get it, okay, but it's here. I believe that. I believe people are valuable. But has it moved to your heart, and is it transforming the way you communicate and interact with other people? It's one thing to know you are supposed to. It's another thing to live it out. It could be like that your sibling that gets on your last nerve. Your coworker whose neck you'd like to strangle. Your friend who continues to cross the line and hurt your feelings. The person whose political views are radically opposed to yours. Do we give those people the value that they deserve? Do we interact with them? Do we speak to them in an honoring way that gives them value? Those people are the people I'm talking about. If Jesus deems people valuable, then we must also. Period. End of sentence. If he deems them valuable, then so must we. Number two, his command is to love. His command is to love. His command is to love. John 13:34 and 35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, by the way you love one another, the way I love you, by this, people will know you're mine. People will know you wear the name of Jesus. You know, like the little, oh, you know, the little alligator, the little eyes odd thing, right? You know, it's like, you know, you wear, or whatever. I don't even know, okay? Preston's like Mr. Fashionable with his fashionable jeans and stuff, and I'm not into the designer things. I mean, I want to look cute, but I don't really care about the design. But you know, some people are just like, it's all about the name. Okay, I got to have these pair of jeans and this kind of shirt. Well, let me just tell you, my friends, if you said yes to Jesus, then you're wearing his name all over your life. It's not just on your little shirt right here or on the back pocket of your jeans. It's your entire life. It's what comes out of your mouth. It's your actions. It's your interactions. It's what you post. It's everything about you. You are wearing Jesus. So he says, if you love one another like I love you, because that's what I'm telling you to do, that's my command, then people are going to know you're mine. They're going to see that my name is written all over your life. I'm paraphrasing, okay? By this, verse 35, they'll know you're my disciples. Ephesians 4:2, be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, okay? All is, I'm on my tippy toes. It's as high as I can get. I'm 5'1", okay? Above all, right here, above everything, above all, what does Peter say? Love each other deeply. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. 1 John 4:11, the Passion Translation, he says, if he loved us with such tremendous love, then loving one another should be our way of life. 1 John 4:7 and 8, let's love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. One of the commentaries I read this week says this, stay with me, that Christ would command us to love indicates that love is not just a feeling or a preference. It is what one does and how he relates to others. A decision, a commitment, a way of behaving. Jesus states that the world will know that we are his disciples if we behave lovingly toward one another. Schisms, disputes, unkind criticisms, and defamation of character are contrary to the spirit of Christ. His love was a sacrificial love. His love was an unconditional love. His love is constant and self-sustaining. His love provides for the best interests of the beloved. And he commands that we should love one another as he has loved us. So what's the standard? Our standard for loving others is the way Jesus loves us. My goodness, this is outrageous. Whoa, how in the world? How can we do this? Do you know people like I know people that are hard to love? Or does everybody in your life just like amazing? So Jesus says, love others like I loved you. This is my standard. Okay, that's a selfless love. That's a dying to yourself love. That's a preferring others before yourself love. It's a laying down of one's life love. That's the kind of love we're talking about. And that's the kind of love he's commanding. He's commanding. He's not suggesting. He's not saying, if it's easy, I want you to love this way. If you feel good today and your emotions are in check, I want you to love people well today like I would love them. You know, if you don't have a migraine headache and if you actually got, you know, a good solid 9 hours of deep REM sleep, then I want you to love others really well like I would love them. You know, if you don't have a broken arm, if you don't have, like, you're in the red in your checking account, then, you know, I want you to love others well. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, command, love others like I've loved you. End of story. Unbelievably difficult. And it absolutely is if we try to do it in our own strength and our own willpower. We are not that good, my friends. We're not that good. We're not good at all. Our love is not that good. Our love is fickle. Our love is conditional. Our love is easily offended. Our love takes things so personally. Our love gets its feelings hurt. Our love gets offended. Our love outside of Jesus is not good. But there's great news. In Jesus, in Him, we can love others and we can love them well. The resurrected power that raised Jesus from the dead, that my husband powerfully preached about last week on Resurrection Sunday, that same power. That resurrected power that I love the word he used, atomic, like that's like been rolling around in my brain all week long. That atomic power that resurrected Jesus from the dead, that resurrected him out of that grave. That same power lives on the inside of me and you if we're believers in him. Do you know what kind of power it takes to raise somebody from the dead? Come on, my friends. There's no power like it. And that resurrection power, like I said, Romans 8:11 says, lives in me. It lives in you. You all should be like starting to jump up and down and like twirl, I don't know, start running loops around the sanctuary. Like, I got power, resurrection power living on the inside of me. That's what kind of power we have. That's what kind of power lives inside of us. It's not a small power. It's not a feel like if I feel like I have it power. It's a mighty atomic resurrection power that lives in every believer of Jesus. Which leads me to point number three. Love is expressed through obedience. Love is expressed through obedience. If we love, when we love, we're obeying God. When we love, we're obeying God. He says to love. Do you know that God's love language is obedience? You know, the five love languages, words of affirmation, physical touch, acts of service. I can't remember all of them. Well, God's love language is obedience, my friends. He is moved by obedience. 1 John 2:3 through 6 says this, we know that we've come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but doesn't do what he commands, this is the Bible, is a liar. Liars out here everywhere! Me too! And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Are you ready for this? This is how you and I know we are in him. Verse 6. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus lived. We live like Jesus, which means we love like Jesus. Jesus loves people. He loves people. He loves all people. He died for all people. He loves the world. So we're called to love people. You and I are called to love the world. You know, it grieves me when people, and I've heard this too many times, over the years, people say, I can't stand people. Oh my goodness, if I could live on a deserted island without people, it'd be awesome. You know, I just don't like people. Get me away. I can only handle people for just a little bit of time. I got to get away. People are just, woo. Sadly, I've actually heard some pastors even say that. That grieved me. If that's you today, here's your assignment. Go away. Be with Jesus. Stay there. Don't come back. Stay there. Stay with Jesus. Stay with Jesus until his heart becomes your heart. Until his eyes become your eyes. Until you have the compassion for others that he has. So how in the world do we do this? Above all, we're called to love deeply. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. We have to obey him. We want to obey him. So how in the world do we do this? This seemingly impossible task. How in the world do we love annoying people? How do we love obnoxious, rude, mean, grouchy people? How do we love bossy, unkind, unloving, hurtful, negative, critical, sarcastic, hateful people? How in the world do we do it? I love Jesus, and I love that he never calls us to something that we can't do, fueled by his grace and power. It would be cruel. He would be a cruel God if he were to command us to do something that was impossible to do. But he doesn't do that. Everything he asks us to do, we can completely do when fueled by his grace, love, and power. That's good news, my friends. I know you're sitting on the edge of your seat. You're wondering, how? Because is anybody going through your mind right now? Are you thinking of anybody that's really hard to love? Right? They're in all of our lives. There's always Uncle Crazy, you know, at the family reunions. It's just so hard to love. How do we do it? Peter gives us the answer in 2 Peter 1:3. This is the other scripture I'm begging you, please memorize. Please hide it in your heart. Please meditate on it day after day after day. 2 Peter 1:3. This is such great news. His divine power. Say power with me.
Power.
Yes. His divine power has given us everything. Everything. Everything we need for life and godliness. His divine power has given us everything we need to live a godly life.
Amen.
Not to live a subpar life. Not to live a defeated life. No, a godly life. You and I mean, it's just like, he gives us what we need, my friends. It's like, here you go. You become my child. You're in my family. You're in my army. Here's what you need. Here's the weapons. Here's the fruits of the Spirit. I'm giving you everything you've got. I mean, there's just this arsenal of everything we need surrounding us at any time to live a godly, successful, powerful life to the glory of Jesus. This is like a superpower. It's like a superpower. His divine power. His divine power is like a superpower for you and I as believers. I mean, it's like Wonder Woman's lasso, you know, here it comes, you know, or Thor's hammer and whoo, here, oh, it is, there he is, or Captain America's shield. His divine power is our superpower. Let's keep going. so a superhero wouldn't dream of battling or living their life without his or her superpower, would they? Have you ever seen a Captain America movie without his shield? No, you haven't. Have you ever seen a Wonder Woman movie or show without her lasso coming in at some point and wrapping the truth that the truth is coming out, you know? No. Thor's, his little hammer is always, big hammer, is always nearby. We can't be without this power. But how do we, if this, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness, then how do we receive this power? How do we receive it? This divine power that can cause me to love the most unlovely, the most unlovable well. How do we do it? How do we get this power? Super simple, my friends. We come under it. We bow our knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. We submit ourselves to his power. It's so simple in words, and yet how many of us refuse or choose to not submit ourselves to that power when the going gets tough? When the obnoxious, rude person is in our face. You receive the power when you come under the power, when you submit your life to the power, when you humble yourself to the power. Do you know that humility is spiritual warfare? When you humble yourself and you make it in that moment, it's getting heated and you can feel it stirring up. It's this political conversation and the hairs on the back of your neck are, wah! You know, and you are just like about to lose it and go through the roof. Or when that person has just said the wrong thing and hurt your feelings yet again. You want his divine power? You go low. You humble yourself. You say, Lord, I'm under your authority. You are King and Lord, and I want your power, not my own, because my power will only react in the flesh. And it will produce no good fruit. But as we submit to his power, we come under the authority of his divine power. Supernatural things take place. How could Jesus, our hero, the hero of all heroes, how could he be punched and hit and slapped and spat upon, beaten, all of these things, nailed? How? And not react with a fleshly reaction? Divine power. That divine power, my friends, is available to you and I if we say yes. A few weeks ago, I talked about decisions determine destiny. Do you realize this is a decision? Because 2 Peter has made it very clear that his divine power has given us everything we need. We are never without. In every situation, the most difficult situations, the hardest people to love, the ones who have hurt us deeply, betrayed us, wounded us. His divine power is absolutely still available. To love him and to honor him in so doing. His divine power. That is the best news you've heard all day long. Come under the power, you submit to the power, you bow your knee to the power. When we surrender and submit, then we receive the power. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. If you're sitting there thinking, but you, Julie, you don't know the people in my life that have been so unbelievably horrific, that have hurt me so deeply. The things they've done to me are unspeakable. What we're saying is that His divine power, the power that resurrected Jesus from the dead, is less powerful than the power you're giving that person who's wounded and hurt you. And it's just not true. It's just not true. Listen, God's not a respecter of persons. I used to be the grudge holder of all grudge holders. I could hold a grudge with the best of them. I could linger on and on. I could get offended, so easily offended, stay mad, meditate in it. You know, like those three we talk about here a lot, the three ways you process pain. You motivate, you medicate, or you meditate. I'm like the meditator was in Jesus' name. Terrible. I just let it linger. They hurt me. Well, they hurt me 1.5 million more times because I lived in it and I just muddled all in it all the time. But I could hold a grudge with the best of them. I have generational expert grudge holders on both sides of my family lines. Okay? Maybe I've broken those off too. If God can do it for me, He can do it for you. That's what's true. He's not a respecter of persons. The problem is this: we give into our flesh, we give into our old man, we give into our fleshly carnal nature instead of submitting to the Spirit of God, to the power of God. And here's the primary excuse we use, and I need you to stay with me a few more minutes. This is the excuse: I can't. Can't do it. Can't love them. Cannot forgive them. Can't repent. I can't believe the best. I can't do it. I can't prefer them above myself. I can't not be rude to them. I can't not be easily provoked by them. I can't do it. I can't love them. And my friends, in what we're really saying, when we say I can't, what we're really saying is I won't. I won't do it. But you know, we don't want to say I won't because, God forbid, I don't want to sound rebellious, because I won't sounds really rebellious. Because it is. And there's a spirit of rebellion that's in the heart of mankind that God wants to get in there and dig down in there with His beautiful scalpel and dig it out, because rebellion is not honoring to God. Rebellion is sin. And so this is what it could sound like. When we won't come under the power and we use the excuse of I just can't. Examples would be like, I'd like to obey you, Lord, and forgive them, but I just can't. They hurt me too deeply. I'd like to obey you, Lord, and I wish I could stop drinking or using, but I just can't. I love my addiction. I'd like to obey you, Lord, and be a more loving wife, but I just can't. My husband's too much of a jerk. I'd like to obey you, Lord, and prefer someone else above myself, but I just can't. I enjoy being selfish and self-centered. I'd like to obey you, Lord, and give up this idol in my life, but I just can't. This idol brings me too much comfort. So as long as we keep this I can't, which is really I won't, language and attitude, then we're going to miss the benefits that come when we submit to the divine power, when we come under his lordship and submit and bow our knee to His divine power. We're going to miss the benefit because we won't humble ourselves and go low to receive the divine power. You, my friends, have a superpower that you're possibly not using. Sitting on the shelf. All it takes is to go low and say, Lord, I submit to your divine power. It is simple. It may be amazingly difficult because that carnal nature wants to resurrect itself and say, nope, can't do it. Yes, you can. Yes, it's a rebellious spirit to address. God wants us free. He's given you and I everything we need to love well. But will we do it? Use your superpower. Activate your superpower. Let love be what motivates you. Humble yourself. Submit to his divine power. And let him enable and empower you to live in supernatural ways. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us everything we need to live a godly life in you. That you've equipped us for this life. There is no lack in the kingdom. And there is no lack in the resources that you have given us to love the unlovable well. Lord, right now we just receive a fresh infilling of your power and your love. Lord, we ask that you would fall upon us with your grace, that we would say yes to your grace in those moments, in those relationships, Lord, where we're given to love. Father, we repent of a spirit of rebellion. We repent of refusing, making the excuse of I can't when it's really I won't. Forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us. Wash us. We want to always say yes to you. Fill us afresh today with your love. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.